Thank you, Brock. Morning, Newville. First, I'd like to read the quotes. The first one is from Revelation 22, verses 11 and 12. Let the unrighteous go on in unrighteousness. Let the filthy go on being made filthy. Let the righteous go on in righteousness. And let the holy go on being made holy. Look, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to what he has done. And Romans 12, 19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And Tim asked me to say a couple of things about parables. Many of us already know all this, but as a little bit of a review about parables before I read the one for today, overall, look for the punch of the parable. How about that? Just look for the punch. Several things to just make four different points that I wanted to say about parables. The parables tell us something about the nature of the kingdom of God. For example, the parable of the lost pearl or the found pearl is not so much about the pearl as it is about the unutterable joy of having discovered the gift of the kingdom. So the parables tell us something about the nature of the kingdom. We are to think, this is the way it is in the kingdom of God. The second thing, that they are themselves the vehicle of the message, and it calls forth from us a response of some kind. It's a calling to us for discipleship. We're like potential disciples when we listen to the parables, and it calls forth from us some kind of a response. The third thing, they usually emphasize something about timing. There's like a sense of the already and the not yet, always in the kingdom, the already and the not yet. And the parables generally will emphasize one or the other, but there almost always is a sense of urgency, the urgency of the hour, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and that there's an urgency of the timing of it. And Jesus, usually, his urgent proclamation had to do with two different things. One was that judgment was also at the door. There was a time of just judgment and a sort of impending disaster or catastrophe, but it was always matched up with the freedom of salvation that was offered to all of us. So those two things together. The fourth thing is my favorite, and that is we must understand the parable and the punch of the parable in the context in which it was given. Because I learned a long time ago that a scripture verse can never mean now what it didn't mean then. And then it's our task to bring that message into the present. I hope that makes some sense. But we must understand the context in which Jesus gave the parable, the audience, and the punch or the pull that it would have had on those listeners. So we must understand that first. We are to be caught up in it. It's kind of, if you want to think of a parable almost, this sounds a little bit irreverent, but it's sort of like a joke. If you have to explain a joke, it loses its funniness. So if I have to go through and explain all the points of reference of a joke, I sort of ruin it. But in a sense, for us to study the parables that were given in the first century church, we sort of must study the points of reference for the people who were listening to it. So we must still understand what the punch was for them, and then how would we have responded had we been there then? Had we personally been there then? So we identify those things. Then the last thing I'll tell you about is the setting for this particular parable. And I need to read from Matthew, the first couple of verses in Matthew 13, where this parable comes from. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered together around him. So he got into a boat and sat down there, and the entire crowd stood along the shore. So his disciples were mixed in with that crowd, But there were also, everybody was there. So this was all the potential disciples of the kingdom in that crowd. So in a sense, we are in that crowd. I am in that crowd. So I will read now the parable of the weeds. Jesus set another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. While people slept, his enemy came and was sowing weeds right in the middle of the wheat, and then he went away. Now it was when the blades sprouted and bore its fruit that one could recognize the weeds. So the servants of the homeowner came up and said to him, 'Lord, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then where did all these weeds come from?' And he said to them, 'An enemy did this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and pull them out?' And he said, 'Oh no, if you pull out the weeds, you just might pull out the wheat as well. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will say to the reapers, pull out the weeds first and tie them up in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then Jesus left the crowds and came into the house, and his disciples came up to him, saying, 'Please explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' And he replied, 'The one sowing the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the consummation of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So just as weeds are gathered and then burned by fire, so it will be at the consummation of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of the midst of his kingdom all those who trip people up and are living against the law, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let the person who have ears to hear listen." Amen.